everyone. Welcome to Just Jana, a podcast where each month I'll speak to a variety of industry leaders to bring you education, trends, and relevant topics in franchising. I'm your host, Jana Bailey, CEO of FranNet. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Just Jana. I am absolutely thrilled to have with me today Miss Sherry Seaver. Anyone in franchising knows Sherry. So if you're new to franchising, this will be a treat for you because you'll get to learn a lot about her. But Sherry has been in franchising as long as I have been, I know. So we'll find all her details out in a minute. But she's a highly accomplished business leader, and she serves as the president of Fran Fund. She is recognized as an expert in franchise financing and small business lending in general. She's passionate about providing funding solutions to aspiring entrepreneurs and franchise owners, and she gets great satisfaction from watching the success of these entrepreneurs. So I'm going to get Sherry to go into a little bit of detail. So hello, Miss Sherry. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Jana. Thanks for the invitation.
I would like for you to start by just telling everybody a little bit about your background. How did you, come about to start Fran Fund? What did you do prior?
Woo. Okay. I am going to start by saying that my husband, to whom I've been married for 40 years, has been in franchising his entire career, starting with, part-time in high school and college in franchise systems. I, on the other hand, had my own career. And first it was operations with a large telecommunications company, Motorola, which is not very relevant anymore, but nonetheless, I rose pretty quickly in Motorola to a leadership position and ultimately had responsibility for operations in factories in 7 countries. Wow. And supply chain and that kind of thing. So I started realizing the future of paging because I was in the two-way paging division. I know. Go ahead and laugh.
I had one.
Yeah, of course. And then we had pagers. When we first started two-way paging, they were called Tango because it takes two. Anyway, moving on. Then I got recruited to a contract manufacturer because that became popular. Manufacturers started chasing labor costs in the mid-90s. And I got recruited to Flextronics, and Flex built products for other companies such as Motorola or Hewlett-Packard or Apple, Microsoft. In fact, I was on the first Microsoft Xbox team. And there I started as being responsible for sales in the Americas. And believe me, I was a little shocked when I realized the Americas included Central and South. But anyway, grew to be on the CEO staff of Flextronics and responsible for the top 10 revenue producing customers globally for Flex. And so people would ask me what I did, and I'd say, well, really, I'm just a high-class babysitter to take our best customers to China and tell them they didn't have to eat the chicken legs. So that's what I was doing. How I got to Fran Fund was that, I always had sort of a retirement deadline in mind, around 50, and I used to think I'd go into local politics because I do like people. Then I realized I didn't have the patience for politics. It's not as black and white as one would like.
Exactly.
But I did actually, after a one-day trip to Hong Kong, because in my career, I'd been to 26 different countries. I'd been to Asia probably 50 times. And jet lag was starting to kick me in the rear. And so I came home, decided to retire. And of course, found out that charitable organizations that have women that have been involved for years thought I was a little too bossy, and that was not going to be my thing. And I got bored. So anyway, Jeff had just started gotten involved with Fran Fund, and you know, it started with a toe in the water and ended up with full immersion. And that's where we are today.
Wow. How long ago did you all start Fran Fund, Sherry?
Well, Fran Fund was founded in 2006. I actually became significantly involved in 2008.
Okay. That's why 2006 is the year I started with FranNet. So,
Gotcha.
interesting correlation there. Well, that's a lot. And you did a lot and gave up a lot when you retired. So, I can imagine the feeling bored because, I mean, that's what we all worry about, isn't it? We're going to be.
Absolutely.
Can you give the audience, for those that might not know, a good overview of Fran Fund and what you do?
Okay. Love to. Well, Fran Fund, I mean, if it's not obvious, Fran, of course, is overused in our industry. Fran stands for franchise, and fund stands for funding. So, franchise funding, in a nutshell, is what we do. But the concept originally of Fran Fund was a bit unique at the time. It was to combine multiple funding solutions under one roof. Prior to the genesis of Fran Fund, people would have to go to their local bank or a credit union or whatever and try and obtain an SBA or small business loan. They most likely did not know about the Rollover for Business startup program at all, but if they did, then that would be seeking that from a separate provider. Nobody really knew anything about home equity loans or securities-backed financing or any of that kind of thing. So equipment leasing even. So the idea was you got one sort of one-stop shopping, not to use an overused phrase, but it was a very clever idea, and it took our competitors about a 40 winks to figure it out and copy us. The thing is, we really got big started into the, you know, franchise broker network world and having relationships with franchisors in about 2008. And for those that somehow escaped that horrible time period, that was the financial crisis. And wow, what a great idea to be in the funding business then. But anyway, what we do now is we work with aspiring entrepreneurs that are seeking funding either for first unit or an expansion. We are proud to say we're over 98% referral. So we get referrals from direct from franchise broker networks such as FranNet or directly from franchisors, and then a sprinkling from you know, professionals, CPAs, you know, wealth managers, attorneys, whatnot. So we talk with each candidate, not as trying to sell them something. It's not really our job to sell them a business, right? We're just helping them find the funding they need so they can realize their dream. And so we will analyze their financial situation and determine what is possible for them and then move forward from there. And we will even talk to them about things that we don't do in-house, but that they should be aware of in case they want to take that path. So it has worked out very well. We love what we do. We have great relationships over the country and have been, proud to say, pretty successful at it.
That's fantastic. So tell us about the different types of business financing that you all actually offer.
Okay. The one that people are most familiar with are small business loans, and you will hear them called about 40 different things because a lot of people are not aware. But I'll just break it down just a wee bit. SBA lending or SBA loans, mostly 7A, are what usually are the best fit for franchise systems. The reason for that is that the SBA, the Small Business Administration, which is a successful sector of the government, I'm proud to say, the SBA provides a guarantee to lenders to incentivize them to take on what lenders consider riskier loans. And listen, you know, people are sometimes offended by the fact that they're loan is risky. But listen, if you're a first-time business owner and you just came from, I don't know, 20 years at IBM or Cisco or somewhere like that, the SBA does not trust you to pay them back. And that is what they care about. They just want to know, how are you going to pay us back? So the guarantee is helpful. And, you know, we're able to talk candidates through that are qualified. And then we have created a relationship and a portfolio of lenders across the country who understand the value proposition of franchising and who have an appetite for all the different segments that we end up working with. And just to break that down a little further, a lender may say yes to a fitness franchise on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and no on Friday. And so we have to be prepared for those surprises to make sure we have options. The success rate of somebody walking into their local bank and getting a small business loan is less than, it's around mid-30s, 35, 36%, something like that. Just because wrong bank, wrong day, wrong person, whatever it is. Okay, second thing, second and equally as popular as SBA lending is the rollover for business startup process. Essentially, the simplest way to explain that is you are investing your qualified retirement funds into your own business, tax deferred and penalty free. So the IRS becomes a bit of your partner. You are not liquidating your retirement funds. You are buying stock in your own company. So at the end of that transaction, your new 401k, which is for the benefit of all qualified employees, as well as yourself to start contributing back to, has shares of stock in your company, and the company has cash that can be used for any legitimate business expense. It's a brilliant way for folks to get started. And if you're able to fund the entire project with those funds, then you start out having, you're in better shape because you don't have that monthly payment to make. It's also extremely helpful and very often used these days to use the rollover funds for the equity injection for a larger size loan. We also, related to the rollover in-house, we do third-party administration because, you know, the IRS is very interested in what you're going to do with your pre-tax money. They don't just let you ride off into the sunset in your Lamborghini. They would like some reporting on that. So we do that in-house, and that's where we see the successes of the businesses that we work with, because they're the ones who either are working through their franchise agreement and selling at the end or turning it over to kids, and we see what success they have and how they have grown the value of that company, therefore their stock value in their 401k over the years of their agreement. And, most often they have done a much better job than, you know, Charles Schwab or Merrill Lynch or any other wealth manager. So that's the good stuff. Also in-house, we have an unsecured loan product right now, which is very impressive. It is not credit cards. It's actually a term loan. The interest rates are not beautiful, but heck, none are right now. And it's pretty obtainable. But then we don't do home equity loans. Obviously, you'd need to go to a mortgage company for that. But we tell people how they work in case that's a good solution for them. As a side note, we recommend that home equity loans be sort of saved as rainy day money instead of being used for the startup, because there's complications if you just liquidate everything you got there up front, possibly.
Right.
And then we talk about securities-backed financing, which is taking the funds that are in your wealth account that are not in your 401k and obtaining a loan against them, and those are marketable securities. So, that loan, the terms of those can be very attractive in terms of lowest interest rates and lowest repayment terms and that kind of thing. Well, even certain brands we have equipment loans for, although lately they have not been the most attractive. Usually you can do a 7(a) SBA loan in favor of that.
Right.
And so those are sort of the core products that we end up discussing.
Wonderful. So when you start out dealing with a new client, I can imagine you have the opportunity to tailor the package overall. Tell me about that. I mean, do you like find yourself picking and choosing and putting together a package that may have some of these different things?
Okay, we can tailor to the candidate's wishes. So, in other words, we don't push them one way or the other. We don't, we are equally happy as a company that's providing funding to a rollover or a loan or both together. And so, as a result of that, when we do a financial analysis of the candidate's capabilities, we give them here's a couple of ways you can do it. Sometimes there's only one way they can do it, and sometimes there's no ways they can do it. But we discuss all of those things. And lately, there has been a tremendous majority of folks that have done both the rollover and the loan because it kind of makes sense. Some people have been shying away from one or the other, either loans because they're like, oh my God, interest rates are kind of silly right now, or rollovers because, oh my God, my portfolio doesn't look right good right now. But then we enter into a discussion about, okay, an SBA loan is 10-year deal and interest rates adjust quarterly due to prime rate, and it's reported in the Wall Street Journal. Okay. I think we have a high confidence level that interest rates are going to come down in the next few years, hopefully sooner rather than later. But really, we kind of help them through the payment. What would it look like at, 2 years ago interest rate versus today interest rate? Usually it's not that much. So then we have to have a conversation about, look, if it's a $200 a month difference, is this really, are you committed to this business? Or, of course, that's a different conversation. And then same with the rollover. If you do not think you're going to get out of bed every morning and work your tush off, you probably should not use your retirement funds to invest in your business. I mean, a lot comes down to what the person's intentions are. And if anybody thinks that owning a business is just, like a walk in the park, they need a little wake up. Franchising, though, helps it be a lot easier.
It does. It does. So right now, if I were getting ready to buy a business, how long should I plan for the funding process to take?
That is one of the conversations that we enter into pretty early with candidates is to find out when they want to be open. And then we back into the what funding solutions they're going to use to get open, and then back into how long that is taking these days, being realistic and considering whether they are doing a brick and mortar situation or leasehold improvement, whatever, versus service space where they don't need space. And so the actual time frame is a little different for everybody. Some of it is dependent on if they're going to an actual meet the team day. In other words, the decision's like 98% done. They're just both parties, the franchisor and the potential franchisee, are just making sure that they like each other as well in person as they did over the phone. So that might be somebody that's got their funding lined up when they head into that. But then there are folks that are now going to, astonishingly to me, as a side note, but going to multiple discovery days. And those people are really not ready to let the rubber meet the road, but we still talk to them about timelines so that they're not surprised when they find out that their SBA loan for brick and mortar may take a while. It may take until they get the lease signed. And, there's a whole situation there. So it can be as, let's say, as early as 20 days and as long as 90. Hopefully the sweet spot somewhere in the middle there.
What is one key piece of advice you would give to people who are considering going into the franchise business, and especially in terms of their funding?
I wish that I'd been the author of the following statement. I am not, but I've said it so many times I could probably just claim it. But businesses fail for a lot of reasons, but being overcapitalized is not one of them. So as a potential business owner, do not follow the squirrel that like looks like you're going to start making money the day you open your doors. You need to have realistic projections. You need to do your due diligence very thoroughly and make sure you have verified and validated what the other units in that system are doing about in terms of, you know, time to break even, how much cash is needed, whether there are marketing programs on your horizon that you want to consider, and just make sure that you've got a capital plan, that a capitalization plan that covers that, because there's nothing worse than, you know, let's say investing 100% of your cash on hand and then thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay my house payment next month? Mm-hmm. Because you might open your doors the first day, but you're not going to be making your top revenue projection on day one or even day, you know, month one or two. So consider carefully what all that looks like.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to take a little bit of a side note here. What advice would you give to young women who want to become business leaders or entrepreneurs, especially in industries that have been traditionally male dominated?
I think I am qualified to say a little bit about this since I started my career. I'm old, you know, and I started my career when women at the top were unicorns. And I somehow, and I credit my parents, I suppose, I never got the inferiority gene. In other words, thinking that women couldn't do anything. That never occurred to me. So actually, I had to get sort of stabbed in the back a couple of times early in my career to find out that, look, you got to stand up for yourself. But sit at the table. The young people, be in the middle of it. I don't care what level you are. If you have something to contribute that you feel strongly about, do it. Sit at the table. Look at the people that you consider successful and see who to emulate, and at the same time, who not to emulate. And don't let people just saying no stop you. I mean, one of my favorite entrepreneurs is Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. She is a scream, and I relate to her because she and I have one trait alike, which is that I cannot be serious more than like 5 minutes in a row. I've got to crack a joke or I will die on the spot. And she's the same exact way. And I just think that's adorable. And, you know, she used to cold call men to try and sell them Spanx. I mean, if that doesn't sound like a nightmare, I don't know what is. But the point is, don't let people discourage you. Don't let traditional roles discourage you. And also, if you are a female with a man that does not support you and does not think that your career is equal to or above theirs, you need a new man. So that's one big secret to success. Unless you have your partner supporting you, you will somehow be held back in the industry. So sit at the table, be president, speak up. The advice my mother gave me, which I, you know, it sounded, I don't know, petty at the time, but it's so true. And I think it's what kept me going. She said, you're not better than anybody, but nobody is better than you. So I don't know if as a result of that or just the fact that I'm me, there's nobody I wouldn't go up to and start talking to. There's nobody that intimidates me that I'm like, oh God, look at that person. I'm not going to go talk to him. I am. I'm going to attempt it anyway. So yeah. Women, be brave.
That's fantastic, Sherry. I always love talking to you and getting you to share that openly because that's what it's all about. I mean, Sherry is just the real person. So I appreciate that. We're approaching the end of our time. So Sherry, any closing comments you'd like to give our audience?
Franchising has been very good to the Sieber family for a lot of reasons. And it is an industry that I would never willfully leave. It is a big, small family. It's a big, small town. You end up realizing that you know hundreds, maybe thousands of people in the franchise industry, And that is so endearing. One of the reasons we're most proud of the fact that our business is 98% referral is people work with who they like. That needs no explanation. So I'm really proud of that. Love franchising. Think that it is just it removes a lot of barriers to entry for people interested in business ownership. And I encourage anyone considering it to work with a franchise professional, franchise broker, consultant that can make sure that you're not just following the crumble cookies. I think we can all safely say we would all love a crumble cookie, but we just want to eat one, not necessarily own one. But work with somebody that can help you find the thing that not only you love, but fulfills all of the goals you have in your life.
Thank you, Sherry. That sounds just like what we preach all the time. Don't fall in love with the concept, fall in love with what it'll do for you and what you're going to be doing in it. So, well, thank
Absolutely.
you so much, Sherry, for your time today. And to our audience, thank you for sharing your time today in this episode of Just Jana. See you next time.